WHFR Dearborn.
WHFR Dearborn. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello, Dennis.
You know, when I hear that music, I don't normally think of the Campus Connection. Actually, for those listeners, this is the new WHFR Journal. It is Friday, October 21st, 2011.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
The host of this wonderful weekly show, Jay Kornick, is not in the studio. He is actually not in the state. He is in Texas enjoying himself, I'm sure, listening right now from his deluxe hotel room and or the campground, whatever, Jay. I don't know. I don't know how you, what your digs are. But anyway, we are our fearless leader has put us in charge, and we will find out in about 60 minutes whether that was a good idea.
Howdy, Jay.
Hi, Jay. But anyway, we will try to move forward with topics that, we will move forward with topics that are currently covered. This is a public affairs show. It's the new WHFR Journal because it's new every week. Plus, I think we had to change the name for some reason. Anyway, Lindsay and I, Lindsay Flynn and I'm Dennis Reimers, we co-host the HFCC's Campus Connection, which is the second Tuesday of each month. And I just thought it was a wonderful idea. I co-host the new WHFR Journal with Jay, and it seemed like a natural for Lindsay and I to do this in his place. I just think we should move forward. Some interesting things going on, not only at the college.
There's so much going on. We have a ton of information here to fill our listeners in on.
Well, I want to start with one thing because my WHFR Journal or my WHFR duties began a couple hours ago, actually. As you know, Lindsay, and as our listeners know, on Fridays we have the Dearborn Farmer and Artisans Market in downtown West Dearborn. And the market is winding down. It started in May, and the last weekend is 1 week from today.
Next Friday,
the 28th. So, as you know, we go down there. We do a short, I call it like a dispatch or a report from the market. Usually trying to talk to you, we try to discuss things. Of course, HFCC is one of the sponsors, as well as Oakwood Healthcare Systems. So we try to incorporate some of that dialogue, the dialogue with those entities. This morning, though, I have to tell you, Lindsay, very familiar sound as I'm walking through. Not familiar to me at the market, but familiar to me from the school. I hear, as I'm going through the market, I hear chainsaws and drills. Does that ring a bell at all with you?
Familiar to the school.
Yeah.
Must be the ice carving club.
It was. And it's funny because you and I are probably the only ones that would, right off the top of my head, if I hear chainsaw and I know lumber isn't being, cut. I think of ice, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But Lindsay and I, one day we were coming into school. It was a Monday evening.
It was late. It was snowing. It was cold.
Weren't we recording though at the time?
I think we were doing when we did our pre-recorded shows.
Right.
And
we were not live. And she comes in and she says, "Oh my gosh, there's like chainsaws and they're using irons on ice." And I had no idea. So we walked out there. We watched these guys. Well, they were at it again this morning, and there were four.
Great morning for it.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's chilly today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an understatement for sure. So I was out there anyway. I spoke with Ditto, and for the purposes of the Ice Club, that's his name. And there's a lot of cool things going on with the Ice Club, and we will, in our next show, Lindsay and I, our next show is November 8th, Campus Connection, 1 o'clock.
I hear we have a big announcement.
We do. We will, regarding the Ice Carving Club. And I'm going to find out more, and that's why we're not going to spill the beans right now.
All right.
But we do have a lot of other things to go into, and I thought we could start. This is a public affairs show. And one of the things, are you familiar with Deep Said What?
I am. I brought a few of his articles.
Saad Deep has a blog called Deep Said What. In fact, it's deepsaidwhat.com. And it's called Let's Talk Dearborn. And in this particular, actually, there were a couple of blog posts or entries of interest. But one in particular we've talked a lot about on the new WHFR Journal, Jay has brought up a lot, the Dearborn City ballot proposals and the fact that they're going to be on CDTV. And I just wanted to give, I don't think we had an opportunity to give the exact schedule. But before I go on, Lindsay, you've done something with, did you have a little bit of research you did regarding the school board members?
A little bit, because the same exact, the article that the blog you're speaking of here with the CDTV, they are going to be broadcasting not only the ballot proposals, but the League of Women Voters did a talk forum with the Dearborn School Board candidates.
Now, people in the area may know that the League of Women Voters do this with most of the candidates for most of the offices. For instance,
for Dearborn and Dearborn Heights.
Right, and they'll do this for not only the clerk and the city council, but as you're stating,
for
also the
school
board.
And it was earlier this month and took place at the council chambers. And they usually, you know, there are four runners for the school board.
Four candidates. There's four runners.
Slow down.
Sorry.
Only three were able to make it. Joseph Guido was not able to be there, but Roxanne McDonald was there.
Okay.
And Dubkowski.
Yes.
And, Pechkloff?
Yes.
Pechkloff.
You got it.
Yeah, I've been, it's tough names. So,
but did you watch this? I watched it,
and it's very interesting. With Dearborn Schools, the budget is number one concern for all four of the candidates right now, and it's major in Dearborn, and they all had wonderful things to say about the budget and what their plan is. And I do know that Dearborn Schools Federation of Teachers is endorsing Roxanne McDonald. As far as the other candidates, I'm not sure who is endorsing, if they are being endorsed,
okay,
or what's going on with them. But right, if anyone is interested in checking out this CDTV rebroadcast of the League of Women Voters talk forum with the school board candidates, the next one coming up is going to be on next Tuesday.
Right.
7, 11, 3 p.m., and 11 again at 11 p.m.
But they're running this all the way through the election at various times, right?
Various times. It's throughout the day, 7, okay, 11, 3, and then again on Friday, and then again Saturday and Sunday. And this is really important to, you know, check it out, watch it a little bit. The election day is coming up really soon.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really quick. Before we know what it's going to be here, it's the end of October already. Tuesday, November 8th, is election day.
Right.
And there are three ballot proposals going on.
Right. I think that's on that list, too.
Yes, there is. The one of them asks voters to decide that the city's operating tax rate should be temporarily increased. Dennis is over there banging and banging.
Sorry.
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's having some little banging the microphone around. The proposal one is asking voters to decide on the city's operating tax rate, if it should be temporarily increased by no more than 3.5 mils for no more than 5 years.
Right.
Operating tax is the most critical source of funding for most city services. So pretty important, this proposal one. Proposal two is asking voters to decide if they want to authorize a $1 million tax dedicated for library services for no more than 10 years. Library services are really important in Dearborn. I'm taking a little break from playing in the waves that I do on Sunday mornings, but I do library news weekly on that show. And the Dearborn Centennial does so much for the community. And as you know, in the recent months, we've had Dearborn Branch libraries had to close. Bryant Branch, the Snow Branch, I believe, on Telegraph just closed. And so this is a really important proposal as well to read into and become aware of what's going on exactly with our library services. Proposal three is going to be asking voters to decide if the civil service system should be eliminated in Dearborn. And we were discussing this morning that they may be taking this off the ballot altogether, this proposal.
We've talked, and Jay has talked about this at length, at the different things, and it was moving forward where they were discussing getting rid of the commission and getting a human resources, that particular classification, I guess, mm-hmm, you'd say, instead. And so now they're talking about there's actually a lawsuit, and it won't be decided until the beginning of November whether they'll actually be on the ballot. And furthering what Lindsay's talking about, the League of Women Voters also had, I guess you'd call it, the headline in the Press and Guide, and this was written by Ben Baird, Five Heights Council Hopefuls Talk Financial Crisis. So as Lindsay's saying, budget was the first thing, the primary thing on the school board, potential school board members' minds. That's the case with city council, potential city council members as well. The five candidates each had something to say about the city's current financial crisis and about the millage proposal that will be on the ballots alongside the council positions. And again, this is in Dearborn Heights. And I will just kind of read exactly what they said specifically. The question was, can you name a specific change you would like to bring to the table that would help alleviate the financial crisis facing the city? And you have to remember, they are limited by the amount of time that they have, and in the case of written essays or what have you, they're limited by the number of words. But Kathy Abdel-Haq, who was supposed to be on our show, we wanted to interview her last week. She had an unfortunate incident came up, an emergency she had to tend to, was not able to make it. I did send her an email this week to see if she could come back on today, mm-hmm, and she wasn't available. I did not get a reply, so I imagine she wasn't available. Next week, we do have, we will have one of the challengers. Now, again, this is an alternative news show, and we have one of the challengers, which will be Lisa Hicks Clayton, will be on the show at 1 o'clock, New WHFR Journal, 1 o'clock on the 28th. And then the following Friday, we'll have the other challenger, Scott Craig. So we were not able to have Ms. Abdel-Haq, but we will have Lisa Hicks Clayton and Scott Craig on in the next 2 weeks. Specifically to the question, what they would do to help alleviate the financial crisis, Abdel-Haq said, one thing is, I will be donating my council salary back to the city in an effort to keep council meetings played online. I'll make sure that whatever tax dollars spent in our city is spent with the maximum return. So she's already looking ahead and saying she's going to make a personal sacrifice. That's interesting. Nedapigian said, union contracts begin and end at different times. Some expire and are allowed to be extended without changes. This adversely affects our bargaining ability. Some begin in good times, others not. All contracts should begin on July 1st and end on June 30th, the end of the fiscal year. And just to continue this question, the other three people, one of them being Barron, I believe it's Kenneth Barron, said there is really no one specific magic answer to this complex problem. Some options to consider include court merger, sharing city services, which has been talked about a lot between the city of Dearborn and the city of Dearborn Heights, mm-hmm. also enticing new industry to the city, getting input from department heads on cost-saving ideas, and encouraging employees whose hands-on involvement can discern better methods of operation. Scott Craig said that he advocates two major changes. One, a block-by-block political organization of the city emanating from the residents themselves and not City Hall. And then two, a systematic program of suburban agriculture or front yard farming. This is interesting. He says, if times get tougher, we should get used to growing our own food again. All right. And then Lisa Hicks Clayton said, we must ensure our city departments are working efficiently and taking cost-saving steps when conducting day-to-day operations. We must maintain the standard expected of all residents and maintain the integrity of our community, stabilizing property values, retain current residents and businesses, plus attract new residents and businesses. I'm hoping that, you know, they're very limited, so that's why, Lindsay, I think a lot of the candidates speak in really broad terms because they have to get as much hit on as many topics as they possibly can in that short period of time. But I do hope that we have Ms. Hicks Clayton and Mr. Craig on in the next 2 weeks so we can expand on those topics a little more thoroughly.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Well, they'll have 15 or 20 minutes to actually expound on that. So mm-hmm. I think that will give people more time. But again, this was in the Press and Guide from this past Tuesday. There's more to the article. I just wanted to touch on some of the things that the candidates are saying. For addition, another question is, how do you feel about the ballot proposal to levy additional mills and override the Headley Amendment? They had interesting answers to that. Again, I don't want to get into it on the air and read it all. We have other things to talk about, but please take a look at that. And as Jay always continually suggest, look through the whole article and get different sources. We have two pretty good papers here in our Dearborn area. Very good. I shouldn't say pretty good. They're very good. And then we have Patch.com, another news source, and the League of Women Voters does a lot to consolidate those things in one spot. Mm-hmm. So,
and then an interesting blog writer, too, the Deep Said.
Oh, Deep Said What? Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we'll touch on a little bit more of that, too. What do you have there? I know there was something you were looking at.
There were a few things that I mean, there's so much to talk about. One of the things, though, I believe you have over there as well is the Dearborn police are going to be holding the... Do you know what I'm getting at?
The Crime Stopper?
Yeah, the Crime Stopper thing. That's over there with you. And you were talking about with the Dearborn Heights and the residents having their meetings weekly. It just triggered a thought because I was reading that this morning.
Are you talking about Dearborn Police Department? We had this as news from the city of Dearborn. Dearborn Police Department invites the public to town hall meetings on crime prevention. Now, there was one 2 days ago. That was the first one. These are completely free events to anybody. The next one is coming on October 27th, which is next Thursday. And then there's one again on November 2nd. And they're inviting the Dearborn Police is inviting the public to these town hall meetings.
They've done them at different locations, too. I believe the next one coming up on Thursday is at the City Hall.
Dearborn City Hall. Yeah. You got it. 7 p.m. at Dearborn City Hall. And then the one after that is actually at the Dearborn Public Schools Administration Building, which is on Audette by Tenike Park. Mm-hmm. And they're representatives from the police department are coming out and they want to address to residents how police and community members can work together to prevent crime, as well as explain specific ways the department serves the community.
This is something that Dearborn Heights has been doing for a while with their neighborhood watch programs. Dearborn hasn't had many neighborhood watch programs in full effect. I mean, there's people, of course, you know, you look out for your neighbors, but to have an actual real neighborhood watch in effect, Dearborn Heights has been doing that for quite some time, and I think it's good that Dearborn might be adding, picking up on where Dearborn Heights has been doing.
You know, you bring up a really good point, because a lot of times the neighborhood watches are organized more by blocks and really directly related community as opposed to entire Because when I think of neighborhoods, a neighborhood might be more than just your block. Your neighborhood right. encompasses a few blocks, probably. And I know that I've lived in Dearborn for quite a while now, and that's exactly how it was done. Our block watched out for...
You look out for your neighbors.
You really do. Yeah. And you expect the same. Mm-hmm. They're talking about on a much bigger scale now.
Well, there's so many more. I think a lot of it, and this is all strictly opinion for me, there are an abundance of rental properties in Dearborn right now.
Right.
So you're not getting to know your neighbors as well as you used to. And I think it's important that we have maybe a little bit more of an enforced neighborhood watch going on because of the different the changes in neighbors. You know, people are moving on and moving up or moving around the city. And with the rental properties, people are coming in and going often.
And that is and I know the rental properties are sometimes a concern when and I know this for a fact because of our neighborhood association. Mm-hmm. And again, it's more than a block, but it's our directly, I think it encompasses six blocks in our area.
The radius of the, yeah.
Yeah. And it's based on the school and that particular association. They do have people. We have a Dearborn Heights police officer who's married to a Dearborn canine unit police woman.
Nice.
And they live right on the corner, not far from Tenike. And I mean, some of the things that they discuss, just you and I, we, after you hear it, you go, oh, that's just common sense. Well, you have to implement them. And right, they're not always common
sense. Common sense is different, Dennis.
Absolutely. And it's based on your own experiences. So the thing is for the police to get together and not only talk about their services, but they're also going to talk with how they can work with the community and make things a lot safer. Your community watch idea, I guess what I was getting at is the association near our home came up with a central phone number and email that was monitored pretty regularly. So if you had any trouble, and we're not talking about emergencies now. Mm-hmm. If there's somebody outside your house that shouldn't be there, that's a 911 call.
Yeah, definitely.
But if there's a reoccurring situation, instead of
a concern
confronting somebody, maybe it could be a negative outcome, you go and you discuss with the association, and then they act as mediator. So it was really interesting in our neighborhood that works. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see if that carries over because we...
And I'm curious what the Dearborn Police will have to say and how they'll be giving advice to neighboring communities on
do you think you'll go?
I'm interested because this one is closer to my home.
Right.
So this one coming up on next Thursday, City Hall is near where I live on that right. side of town. So I am curious about it.
Right.
So do you want to take a really quick break and come back and maybe talk about some crazy critters around the
Oh, I do. We got lots of stuff going
crazy
on.
Crazy critters and leaves are falling. No. Want to know what to do with your leaves?
And folks, listen, you know, I know that you probably read the papers and the different blogs and the things. We try to get it all together here. We're like the clearinghouse of what we think is relevant Dearborn and Dearborn Heights news. So please stay tuned. And we're going to come back after a non-commercial break.
WHFR is having a benefit featuring live blues music on Saturday, October 22nd, with Maggie McCabe.
Well, if you don't want me, baby, then why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell me?
The Dale Robertson Band. And the Flying Crowbars.
I say, baby, who's that knocking at your door?
Only a $5 donation at the door for this great show. 21 and over, please. Live blues, Saturday, October 22nd, at the New Place Lounge in Dearborn from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. It's going to be good. Don't miss it.
Hey, WHFR listeners, I'm Dennis.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're your hosts for a new talk show here at Henry Ford Community College called HFCC's Campus Connection.
That's right. From 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month, Dennis and I will cover the news, issues, and events here on the campus of HFCC and talk about how they relate to the surrounding communities.
Basically, we bring you all the news we think you want to know about our college and our station, WHFR.
We talk about the fantastic restaurant we have right here on campus.
And upcoming performances of HFCC plays and musicals.
We'll even keep you posted on the success of our various sports teams.
In fact, we fill you in on all of the campus activities open to the public, many of them absolutely free.
So when it comes to Henry Ford Community College news,
make the connection.
The HFCC Campus Connection. On 89.3 FM from 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month.
That's WHFR.FM.
The station making waves.
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford Community College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HSCC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFCC's 5101 Restaurant.
All right.
We're back.
We are back. The new WHFR Journal. This is Lindsay and Dennis sitting in for Jay Kornick, who is vacationing on the beach in Brazil. No, he's actually in Texas.
Still probably just as nice.
Well,
right?
He's probably not in his hotel room. Knowing Jay, he's probably out and about watching a movie or taking in a concert or something. He's a very, very dynamic individual. So if you're listening, Jay, that.
At this moment, I envy Jay for sure.
And I call them dynamic, so that's got to be worth an A or something in some class, right?
It's kind of cold here in Michigan, Jay. Hope you're enjoying yourself.
Listen, just to kind of wrap up this thing, and I don't feel like I was as organized as I'd like to be regarding the candidates, and that mainly is because there's so much going on, as Lindsay said earlier. So let me just wrap it up with two things, and they are both, these are two people, both going for the Dearborn School Board, and one of them, this is mostly to get balanced, because we talked about some people last week, and we need to get balanced and equal time. Joseph Guido is the longest serving member of the Dearborn Public Schools Board of Education, and he served 16 years on the Dearborn Public Schools Board of Education, and he's running again. And one of the things that he was, I'm just looking over this, it's a wonderful, it's called Meet the Candidate, and it's an absolutely wonderful piece in the Dearborn Press and Guide, and we know he's in I'm looking for his specific information.
Yeah, I know when I watched the talk for him, I did miss seeing him there, because I felt, you know, I got the scoop from the three other candidates and didn't have anything to hear from Guido.
Well, no, I know. And then so one of the things that they asked him specifically, that he already commented on, was how the district must continue to deal effectively with, and here it is again, the sometimes unpredictable fallout regarding state funding.
Yep.
Obviously, that's a huge thing. And his exact words, his quote was, "We've taken some steps, and I think we're productive, and we must continue to steer the district's finances." He added that board members and administrators must also stay engaged in events in Lansing and with legislators to make sure the district's position against further cuts is understood. That makes complete sense. You want their ear. We want representatives. And I know that one of our state reps, George Duraney, he has not only the K-12 but Henry Ford in mind when he's out there, and I think that that's important, that we have the liaison between here and there, but also that the school board members take that active role. I know that the president of our college, Dr. Gail Mee, has one foot in Lansing much of the time. If she's not here, she's out there lobbying, and I don't mean that in the traditional sense, but working very hard for our
representing
our interests here at the college. Definitely. And I think that that's basically what Joseph Guido was saying right there. And then again, to wrap this up, we have a wonderful email from, and I'll read the email exactly how it is. Hello, my name is Roxanne McDonald, and I am asking to represent you and your children on the Dearborn School Board. I'm the proud product of Dearborn Public Schools, earned two associate's degrees from HFCC,
right,
and my bachelor's from Lawrence Technological University, Lawrence Tech, all with honors. I have been very involved in our schools for many years, serving on executive boards and committees for citywide initiatives, as well as individual schools. And she says, I have three sons. Two are currently enrolled in Dearborn Schools, while my oldest is a disabled vet. My husband has been a member of IBEU Local 58 for more than 20 years. Some of the things that she says, I'm dedicated to Dearborn students, and these are some of the things she highlights. Dearborn PTA Council Executive Board, Nolan Elementary School PTA Executive Board, Middle School PTA Vice Pres, led Dearborn parent rallies in Lansing, served on committees to implement all-day kindergarten in Dearborn. Mm-hmm. It's quite an extensive list. And again, I'm saying this, and there's more information. Roxanne McDonald, her information is readily available also online. Getting the whole story. It was very important. Jay even made this point. It's very significant that we give everybody an opportunity. So there we go. I think that about wraps up the candidates.
Definitely check out the CDTV rebroadcasts that are going to be going on regularly from now until November 8th, pretty much Election Day. So make sure to check that out. Get filled in on the ballots and listen to the state or to the school board candidates for yourself and be able to
make
your own decision.
The League of Women Voters, and their website is actually
VDDH, League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights.
Well, the initials. And
it is an organization.
And also, it is, .org. And then also, deepsaidwhat.com is a whole list that we read off regarding the times for the specific.
I Googled Dearborn shows. School Board and I got all this stuff came right up.
All right.
Yeah. So it's simple, folks.
Cool.
You can do it.
What do you got there?
This is in honor of fall because it was such a chilly morning and you did your second to last morning at the Dearborn Farmers Market and everything is coming. I mean, it's officially fall. Winter is fast approaching. I hate to remind people of that, but next week is the beginning of leaf pickup because it is that time when everybody's yards are covered in leaves.
This is the 24th, right?
The 24th, cool. Monday. Monday the 24th is the beginning of it, and it will be going on in full effect through all of November to, I believe, December 2nd is when it's going to be wrapping up. And this is weather permitting. If we're going to get a little bit of snow, then they're not going to be able, you know, you got to get your leaves out there into the street. If you pay a yard service, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Landscaping company, sure.
To take care of your lawn, then you need to fill them in and let them know that your leaves are to go out in front of your curb.
Right.
In front of your house. And this is the night before your trash night, your city service day, or your public service day. Yeah, service day, which is trash day.
So in other words, my garbage gets picked up on Monday mornings.
Sunday afternoon, get your leaves out in the street. Sunday late afternoon.
Starting after the 24th. So it would be starting next week.
Next week. And if you... if you're not putting your leaves in your street, you are still able to use the trash bin, but it has to have the sticker, the Dearborn Yard Waste sticker on it that you can get from City Hall, from the City Council chain. No, not the City Council
chain. The clerk?
The clerk has them, and there's also that building, the Public Works building down in Greenfield. Do you know what I'm talking about? By the animal shelter?
I sure do.
They have them there, too.
Okay.
The stickers, and you stick them on your bin, but they won't pick them up if you don't have, because now we have our special garbage cans in Dearborn.
But we can use regular leaf bags as well, disposable leaf bags.
You know, you can. It doesn't say not to in what I was reading.
No.
It doesn't say not to, but it doesn't really say much about the paper yard waste bags do not need stickers. There we go.
Found it. And it's funny because I got a really good deal last year. So I bought
a ton.
Lot of bags. Yeah, I have a lot of bags. And I don't know if it was like this for you, but we didn't have to cut our lawn nearly as much this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't use a lot because I use those for clippings too as well, you know, and I didn't have to. And we just now raked our leaves, getting everything ready. How do you get yours from the backyard to your front? Do the old tarp trick?
That's a good question. You know, how do I get it? I have a really small backyard.
Oh.
I do have a tree back there.
Yeah.
But I also have people that come and do my lawn.
That's what I was waiting for. Okay. She's like.
No, but I do. getting the leaves out into the front of the front of the street is what I prefer. The bag is cool, but if it's a rainy day and you have wet leaves, getting the wet leaves into the wet bag and just it's a mess.
But there's a lot of different things that factor in here because wet leaves on your street are slippery.
Yes.
Very, very slippery. I mean, it's like...
Well, that's why you can only put them out the night before your garbage night.
Right.
The day before. You can't have them sitting out there for like 3-4 days blowing around.
I mean, I love my city. I do. I love the city of Dearborn. When it comes... And I won't say but. At the same time, when it comes to leaf pickup, they rarely get it done.
Yeah.
When they say. So it does sit out there for quite a while.
Yeah,
and that was my second warning. If the leaves are wet, they're slippery. If they're dry, they're flammable. Be careful. Don't park your car over them.
I'm being optimistic because our public service days, this is going to be the first full year, like full season that it's been in effect. Last fall, it was just trial. There was just certain days that you couldn't park your car on the street. And it was just, you know, so many days out of the month. And it was really like, oh, which day is it? Which day can I not? And now it's every garbage day is your public service day. You are to not park on the street any of those days, and it's in full effect.
It wasn't like that last year?
It was a trial. Remember, they were just trying it. Wasn't it last year that they were just trying to get it all going?
You know, and believe me,
we got our new garbage cans and stuff. It was all very trial.
You know, I don't remember being able to park in the street during garbage things, but that just might have been my own not doing it because I don't want to get in their way. So you're right. I don't know when. I've got my share of tickets last year. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because I would forget. So it's probably
And you would forget because it wasn't regular every week. It was like four days out of the month. Yeah.
That's not the fifth one, but at least the fifth.
Like, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Listeners, you know what I mean too. Everybody knows what I mean.
Yeah, leave her alone.
Everybody knows what I mean.
What else do you want? You want to talk about something else about my backyard?
I think this is something else that is going on in your backyard.
Right.
Is these squirrels. There are little black squirrels running around Dearborn. Have you noticed that?
I have. You've never met, but you know of my dog, Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
And we take him for a walk. And when I say every day, I'm only slightly exaggerating. It's probably 6 days out of the week. And we take him, and sure enough, he loves to chase squirrels. So I'm very familiar with that particular animal.
And he likes the black squirrels just as much as the chase around.
They're
smaller.
This is new to us, too.
Yeah.
You know, I've not seen that there's gray ones as well, and this is new to us.
But he hasn't been attacked. He hasn't been hurt.
No.
These little black squirrels are more aggressive.
They probably yell at him. And if anybody has ever heard a squirrel, you know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they do that little high-pitched whatever.
Yeah.
Were you just going to do it, Lindsay?
No, I was thinking about it.
I saw you. It looked like you were getting ready to make the noise.
Yeah,
I'd pay money.
I was going to do it, and I remembered that I was on the radio right now. Like that time I yodeled.
Did you not remember you were on the radio and you yodeled?
No, Abby, I had a special guest on Playing in the Waves, and we both yodeled together.
But that was, okay.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. Live that one down.
Was that good radio?
Yeah, it makes for great radio.
All right. So tell me, what are they saying? What's the reason why there's this influx of new squirrels?
You know, they're really, it's really hard to say exactly. They're usually more northern and heavily wooded areas.
All right.
And why exactly they're coming down and what they're doing.
Because they're doing construction in those normally heavily wooded areas, so they have to go somewhere. They're relocating.
Well, and their aggressiveness and their resourcefulness, they're coming down here because they're...
They haven't been around people.
Yeah.
That's why they're wild, right?
And apparently they're resourceful, according to the Dearborn Pressing Guide here. They say,
and they have thumbs. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And well, look at this picture.
Wow.
It's a beautiful picture.
Who wrote that article, by the way?
This is by J. Patrick
Pepper. All right. We had him on the show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, I thought it was really interesting because the first time that I noticed all these black squirrels
mm-hmm.
was when I switched schools, and now I'm in a giant commuter college at Wayne State downtown.
Right.
And the black squirrels are all over the place.
Right.
So I thought these were city squirrels.
Sure.
I thought, you know, I never seen them in Dearborn. I thought they were city squirrels. And now come to find out, I'm seeing more and more of them around Dearborn. And it's just because they've been run out of the heavily wooded areas northern, and they're coming down south because there's work going on.
Why do you think they were downtown first, though?
I don't know. I think that's why I thought they were city squirrels.
That's crazy.
And for them to be aggressive, I don't know, there's an awful lot of people walking down there. No, none of the squirrels have ever bothered me.
Okay, so you've not heard anything? You just read that they're more aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, yeah, that is straight out of the Dearborn Pressing Guide here. It says that the black squirrels are also and have been popping up in neighborhoods, and part of the reason might be their aggressiveness and resourcefulness.
All right.
Bump. Bump says that. Oh, I should probably know who Bump is. That was earlier. Earlier in the story. It's an extensive story.
So we have to read the whole story, but we start at the end.
Yeah.
Listen, it's in J. Patrick Pepper wrote it. It's in what issue of the Pressing Guide? It's the 16th, I think.
October 16th.
October
Sunday.
16th.
This was the Sunday.
So yeah, check
Sunday's
that
edition.
Out. Check it out online.
Check it out for sure.
Yeah. We
Do you wanna talk about some school board stuff when we get back? Just one more thing, not necessarily school board, but what's going on at the Dearborn schools.
Yes, I definitely do. We'll do that. We're going to take another short non-commercial break, and when we come back, we'll cover some of the things that are going on at Dearborn schools, as well as HFCC.
A lot going on at HFCC.
WHFR, the new WHFR Journal. Stay tuned.
The performing arts are an important facet of life. There is no substitute for the relationship between audience and performer. Your contributions to the Henry Ford Community College Theater Program enable students and faculty to continue promoting HFCC's artistic standards. By becoming a member of the Friends of HFCC Theater, you are allowing the theater program to prosper through establishing a scholarship fund, improving costume and scene shop facilities, and enabling the continuation of musical theater productions. For more information on becoming a friend of HFCC Theater, call 313-845-6478.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
Teach me another one.
Okay. A chick in a car and a car won't go. That's the way to spell Chicago.
C-H-I-C-A-G-O.
That's right.
Dad, how about Mississippi?
You ready for Mississippi? Okay, let's go.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right.
All right.
All right.
This is the new WHFR Journal. Am I on? Yeah,
I am. I'm here. You can you hear
I
you?
I can hear me just fine. The new WHFR Journal. Lindsay and Dennis sitting in for the Austin, Texas bound Jay Kornick. Just to touch on a couple different things here, wrap up what's going on in the city. This is, again, according to Deep Said What, to Saad Deep on his blog, deepsaidwhat.com. He talks a little bit about the Dearborn Health Department is closed. So the new flu shots are now administered in different places. And the one coming up Saturday, October 22nd, which is tomorrow,
yes.
Flu shots for those 18 and older will be offered during a free clinic at the Access Community Health and Resource Center, which is at 6450 Maple Street. I think that's right off of Greenfield. No, Schaefer. Right off of Schaefer.
Schaefer.
Yes, it is. 6450 Maple Street at Schaefer. And the clinic's open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And, of course, that's sponsored by Access and the Health Alliance Plan of Michigan.
Do you get your flu shot?
No.
No?
Never, ever, ever have. And I'm pretty healthy, so that's why. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, had I got...
If you were sickly and missing the show all the time...
Right.
Then we would be getting you a flu shot.
Well, there is one other thing, and I'm sure we'll bring this up on another show, but senior citizens... Wow. What happened there?
Senior citizens have all kinds of stuff going on
yes,
in Dearborn.
Do.
I was just telling Dennis that I can't wait to be old in Dearborn.
Well, let me give this to you, young in Dearborn, and you do that next, because the senior citizens may choose to attend the Dearborn Senior Health and Information Expo. That's November 9th, and it says during which $5 flu shots will be available from the Detroit Medical Center, the DMC. That's downtown from 10 to 12:30 p.m. So we have the 2.5-hour window on November 9th. But for $5, the seniors can go to the Dearborn Senior Health and Information Expo. I think that's interesting. Why would they have, I'm sorry. The shots are available from the DMC, which is downtown, but the mm-hmm. actual Dearborn Senior Health and Information Expo is at the Hubbard Ballroom of the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center.
Beautiful.
Gotcha. No charge for admission to the expo, which also includes a wide range of health screenings, and only $5 for the flu shots. And again, it's not at the DMC. That's at the Ford and Community Performing Arts Center in the Hubbard Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is November 9th.
Sponsored by the DMC, right?
Thank you.
That's who's
administering the flu shots.
The Detroit Medical Center
yes.
is providing flu
But it'll
shots.
Be here in Dearborn. That's why
Dearborn
it's called
folks.
The Dearborn Expo. Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Read the whole thing, Dennis. Okay, I will. All right. Anyway, what do you have? There's something else there for seniors?
Well, the Medicare open enrollment day, along with, you know, we're discussing flu shots and health and stuff for our senior citizens of Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
And Medicare open enrollment day, Medicare and health insurance and everything can be very confusing.
Absolutely.
Any type of, it doesn't matter what kind of insurance you have, it's confusing.
Right.
And
which is still better than not having any, I suppose. But
well, yeah, but sometimes, I mean, it causes such a hassle in your brain trying to figure out what it is that
and
you have
you should
and
call
what you're
and when you need a referral.
And, you go,
excellent,
and how to
yes.
do it. And, you know, not that a senior citizen is any more confused than I am, but I can only imagine.
You should see her face.
Because I'm being sincere.
I know.
Really. And just to have a little bit of help would be nice. You know, just someone to guide you in the right direction and say, this is who you should call and this is what you can do.
No, I know, so Lindsay. She wouldn't bring this up unless there was help.
This is important.
Right.
The Medicare Medicaid Assistance Program will have trained counselors to help people compare Medicare Part D prescription programs to Medicare health plans. And the open enrollment date is Wednesday, October 26th. That is next Wednesday. That's right. Really soon. And it's from 9 a.m. to noon at Ford Community Performing Arts Center. Once again, the same place that we're having our flu shot giveaway.
Right.
And
the expo. It's not a giveaway. It's $5.
Well, for, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. You know what I mean.
I did.
And it just call the Dearborn Senior Services to pre-register for this. And the phone number for any Dearborn Senior Services pre-register programs is 943-2412. And once again, 943-2412 to go to the Medicare Open Enrollment Day, which is next Wednesday, where they will have trained counselors to help you compare your Medicare Part D prescription programs and your Medicare health plans to know what's covered. I mean, medication is so expensive.
Sure.
And you need to know what's covered and what's not.
Absolutely.
And how much you're writing your checks out for.
And we talk about that. We don't want surprises.
Yeah. There's an awful lot more going on with the Dearborn Senior Services Department. And I think it's wonderful that there's so much help for our senior citizens in Dearborn.
Where did, and does it say on there where I printed that off for people to get more information? I think it was a Dearborn Press and Guide.
Marcia Cote is the Senior Services Division Manager, mm-hmm. and that was the phone number I gave. It's 313-943-2412.
Cool.
And that's the City of Dearborn Senior Services.
Awesome.
A whole bunch of stuff. They have their walking club that they've been doing for a long time. They have the walking club. There's a free, actually, I do want to mention this, is the free depression screening and seminar. It's for depression affects 1 in 6 elderly persons.
Wow.
And a lot of that is probably because they're so dang confused about their health insurance.
You know? Well, it's not there. If they weren't, they are now, right?
So, right.
I never thought about that.
Well, that's later in November.
Okay.
And that's going on. And once again, all these programs and opportunities and stuff for senior citizens, you can find out and pre-register for all of it. 943-2412 is the number to call. And speak to Marcia. She is the division manager.
Cool. So I have the answers.
Yeah.
And I know that you were, there was something in particular you wanted to touch on. We talked about the city, but going through to the elementary schools in the city was an interesting article in the Press and Guide.
This was very interesting. Dearborn is expanding foreign language in elementary schools. This is something that it has not been done. It just started, I think, for the last 2 years. Only two schools, William Ford and Miller, have been doing Arabic for a few years now for their elementary students. I actually have a friend whose daughter went to William Ford and had Arabic classes, and I thought, well, that's strange. I have a child, an elementary age, that isn't in foreign language, and they didn't offer it at her school where she goes. And they're now going to be offering Arabic at Becker, Henry Ford, McDonald, River Oaks, and they've all started offering Arabic. And in the coming years, I think next school year, they're going to be having Chinese program at Oakman and Whitmore Bowles and Snow Elementary. I think this is wonderful. If there is an elementary school to have a second language introduced to you that young, it stays with you forever.
It does.
And it is such an important thing to have. There are so many American students that are English speaking and English speaking only. And with the countries surrounding us, everybody knows English.
Right.
You know, but and something
you brought
else.
Up a good point earlier, though, that this is an interesting choice of Arabic. It seems like a no-brainer, really.
Right, in this
because,
area, for sure.
In our area, because it's just there's a high concentration of Arabic-speaking people, and that makes a lot of sense. At the same time, Chinese, I'm thinking because of there's a lot of globally that China's a big player.
Yeah.
I get that. You made a really good point, though. I mean, at some point, I think if it hasn't happened already, I think Spanish, isn't it now the second most spoken language in the world?
Spanish is pretty prevalent. Yeah, Spanish is
prevalent. So, I mean, doesn't that, to me, that would be illogical. Plus, Spanish is, compared to some of the other languages,
well, I mean,
is pretty easy.
You look at the television that our children are watching, Dora the Explorer. You don't really see a lot of Chinese television shows for children.
No, but there's plenty
of
Spanish.
And kids are being introduced to Spanish. Sesame Street's been doing Spanish for years.
Right.
They'll do Spanish segments and stuff on their Sesame Street and children's programs. So for them not to be offering Spanish with some of these foreign language programs in Dearborn is a little like, why? I wonder.
I do wonder. And I know that in some of the, like the surrounding area where we border Detroit, that's a heavily concentration of Spanish speaking in that area,
which
is right here. And I've learned that a lot of the people in that area come to our college. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I get to know them.
Very much so.
I just remember now, granted, I went to school 1,000 years ago and it was a one room schoolhouse, but we learned Spanish in like second and third grade. And you know what, Lindsay? As bad as my memory is, I still remember some of the things that I had to memorize for my presentations in Spanish. Of course, they make no sense to me now because I memorized them for the words, not for the meaning. But my point is that we had Spanish way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, way back then. And
jeez, Dennis.
Anyway, so in my mind, I thought, I'm going, of course, I have two kids that already are out of elementary school, and I thought that they learned it, but you're right. They didn't actually get exposed to it.
It starts in middle school,
right.
And they have a choice. In middle school, you can do French, Arabic, German, and Spanish, I think.
I think you're exactly right.
And then in high school, you either go with like French and Spanish are your two basic ones.
Right.
I mean, this is back when I was in high school, which was a little while ago, too.
Not quite as far back.
Yeah,
but, it wasn't the Ice Age.
But it's interesting that If a child can do Spanish in elementary school and continue on in middle school and then in high school and then go into college and major in Spanish and be, you know, moving off and helping and doing, you know, ESL and doing all this stuff, that could be awesome. But they're learning Mandarin Chinese in elementary school.
So,
which is, it's an after school program. And I'm not at all saying that it's
right.
a bad idea. I think any foreign language that's being introduced to children is a good idea.
We just question why that particular one, when some other ones might be not only easier to learn, but more accessible, you know, as resource wise.
Definitely.
But I kept thinking they started in elementary school anyway. So, I'm glad you brought that up. It'd be interesting to find out. You said these are after-school programs.
Well, no. The Arabic classes are in school.
Okay.
And the Mandarin Chinese and Urdu.
Okay.
Urdu is going to be after school. It's 2 days a week for 40 minutes, and that's going to be after-school program. But children that are at the schools, like Becker, Henry Ford, McDonald, and River Oaks, and William Ford, and Snow, they're offering Arabic during your school day as one of your classes that you take.
You know, and think
Arabic.
About the
and
help you get.
Yeah, I think that's really good, though. I mean, in Dearborn, I mean, wow, there are probably a lot more Arabic-speaking students than there are English-speaking students.
In parts of Dearborn, for sure.
Yes,
absolutely.
Definitely.
So, you know, it makes sense. And again, it's all about communication. That's seriously, communication skills are just infinitely helpful in every facet of life as you get older. I know you had to take a language for your degree at Wayne State. What did you end up taking?
Espanol.
Yes, you did. Yes. How are you doing in that?
Sí. Un poquito,
very well.
Yeah. I'm continuing next semester. I took a little break from Spanish, which actually I did 2 years of Spanish here at wonderful Henry Ford Community College and had great Spanish teachers and a wonderful Spanish experience. So good that I had to take a semester off at Wayne State.
Can I run it? You brought up Henry Ford, so I want to talk. We have like a huge list of things that are going on at the school. Folks, normally Lindsay and I, when we do the Campus Connection, this is the new WHFR journal, by the way. Jay is not in town. He's not doing the show this week, so we are. He left us the keys. And we sure hope we're not driving into a ditch. But when we do the Campus Connection, we talk about things that are going on at the college and how they relate to the outer communities.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay coined the phrase, she said we were the ambassadors of the school, and I really like that. And I think in a lot of ways that's true.
You think I coined that?
Who did?
I thought that we had.
Oh, actually, you know what? You're right. I overheard somebody say that.
Someone said that.
Somebody said that about us. They go, you guys are like the ambassadors.
And then I think I was in so much shock and was like, yeah? And then I continued on with it.
I think you're right.
I think that's how it worked out.
They started it, you perfected it.
Yes, yeah.
But anyway, but there are a lot of things that are going on, and they're going on between now and our next show. So I thought it'd be a good thing to bring up.
Great opportunity.
First and foremost, the registration starts. You can register for winter classes October 31st. Now, there is now what's called a course wait list available for winter 2012. Course wait list is available starting October 31st, and it's a program in which students will be able to add their names to class wait lists and receive email notifications if seats become available. Students can then register for those classes. So basically, a wait list is exactly what it sounds like. You go to a particular spot, and you go into WebAdvisor, go into the course courses area, the classes area. There's a course wait list. You go on there and pick the classes you want. As soon as they're available, it comes up and it notifies you via email, and you can get that class. The online registration opens midnight October 31st, and the course wait list is available that same day. Let me think. So midnight the night before. I think midnight mm-hmm. when it turns from the 30th to the 31st, very from good. Sunday to Monday. And then again, the wait list is available. And it's smart because really what this is saying is, hey, classes are going to fill up fast. Try to get them. If you can't get in that class, be next in line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Be in a, you're at least prioritized, and you can get on the wait list. I've never done this because my classes, I get them.
You register
much.
Right when you.
But you have to remember that my classes are very specific for my degree, mm-hmm. so it's not like I have to go. Well, there's 300 English 132s available. I don't have to worry about find one that I like. Some of these are only given. Like in the case of one of my classes, it's only given in the fall. Yeah. So if I would have waited, I would have had to wait until next year. So I try to be a little bit prepared. Okay.
This is one of the reasons I love Henry Ford, because I've had this problem with moving on to a university, mm-hmm. and I wish there was a wait list I could get on for classes.
Oh, I'll bet.
God, I've had so much trouble getting into classes, and this is so wonderful that Henry Ford Community College is doing this.
There is a long URL for the website, but I'll round it off. Visit hfcc.edu campus life, and then with registration and records, it's right. The information will be right there. So campus life on the website, hfcc.edu, go to campus life and then registration and records, and you'll find it. I also want to bring up something else really quickly. On our last show, we spoke with, do you remember Rachel, from the 21st Century Technical Communications?
Yes, I was going to mention that to you. I was reading that.
Oh, you were? Okay. Yeah. Her name was Rachel Christensen, mm-hmm. and we had her on the show. And just really quickly, she had talked about the program, the HFCC's 21st Century Technical Communication Program is going to offer two information sessions about the new certificates available. And the sessions will take place on Monday, November 14th from 1 to 2 p.m. and Tuesday, November 15th. From 5 to 6 p.m. And they're in the Andrew Mazera Administrative Services and Conference Center, which is, what building is that? You always describe.
It's the big blue building with all the windows.
Right. And then the Barry Amphitheater is actually in there. And this is, just to remind listeners, the 30 to 31 credit hour certificate program. And you can get these classes are very specific, and then you can go on three different tracks within the 21st century program. Mm-hmm. One of them is the infrastructure part of it. One of them is the business part of which we include sales and marketing. And the last one is an actual installation, which is on the user end of it, as opposed to building it within the construction part. Mm-hmm. So there's three different tracks they can take. Space is limited, so please register by Friday, November 11th. And you can call Rachel Christensen at 313-845-6470. Again, that's 313-845-6470. Attendees will receive either lunch or dinner. dinner.
Sorry.
Depending on their session choice, which again, Monday the 14th from 1 to 2 or Tuesday the 15th from 5 to 6. That's it. That's what
wonderful.
I have about that. Yes.
Wonderful.
What do you have?
Well, I just wanted to ask you if you were aware. Okay, we know Rick Goward, right? He's our music man here at Henry Ford Community College.
We've not had him on the show yet, but we will.
Yes, we definitely will, because we talk about him and his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bands that we have here at Henry Ford. And it was just brought to my attention. I had no idea that Henry Ford Community College has this marks January 2012 marks the 28th year for the Metropolitan Symphony Band that we have here,
wow.
which is the largest symphony band that a community college has in Michigan.
That is so cool.
Yeah. It's a 90-member band, and 28th year coming up, and they are currently seeking some talented musicians that are interested in trying out for the symphony. And to be able to try out, all you have to do is know how to play an instrument and feel confident in that you can. The age, I mean, you can be a high school student, you can be a junior or a senior and receive college credit.
What about old people like me?
You could be old like Dennis. You could be, yeah. And
wow.
Anybody.
Yeah, even anybody as old as Dennis.
Even as old as Dennis. Jeez, Dennis, hush now. Anybody that feels that they are able to, hey, we got something going on here, Dennis. This is ringing here.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
What does Jay usually do? This isn't my show.
We usually let it go.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're on the
All
air.
All right. Well, I see you calling. Thanks. Maybe they want to try out for the band. If you want to try out for the Henry Ford Community College's Metropolitan Symphony Band, then rehearsals are taking place at F110, and that's in the Mackenzie Fine Arts Building. And Dennis and I talk a lot about that building as well. That's with the Sisson
Art Gallery.
Art Gallery,
sure,
in there.
Adria Auditorium is there, sure.
Adria Auditorium is there, and it's right the south entrance here. And you can be there for rehearsals and try out and show up.
Just show up.
It does say, though, that if you have a wind instrument, that is your responsibility to bring your own wind instrument. That, you know,
that would make sense.
Clarinets, saxophones,
right.
Flutes, you know.
All right.
Yeah, wonderful.
All right.
So check it out. If you have any more questions, you can email Rick Goward at rgoward, G-O-W-A-R-D, at hfcc.edu if you have any specific questions. But 28th year, 90-member band, biggest one in Michigan for community college. Wonderful.
I have something coming up on Monday that's important. Again, these are things that they are related to the college, but there are opportunities or shows or whatever that are open to the public.
Is this dealing with the standard American diet?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the acronym there? SAD.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
Yeah, you're right. The standard American diet is now called SAD.
Yeah.
All right. Wait, boy, talk about
I shouldn't laugh at that.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't even get to that. Well, I'm sorry.
I was going to do a
rhyme.
Were you
going to say that?
Yeah, I was going to rhyme. What? I had this whole thing planned. Okay, no, I'm kidding. I didn't.
Jesus.
You believe me first. Anyway, the point is that, again, these are things that this is very much open to the public. HFCC's Phi Theta Kappa and the Honors Program and Wellness at Work Program will co-sponsor a screening of the film documentary Forks Over Knives. Forks Over Knives. That's Monday, October 24th in the Liberal Arts Building Room L14. Probably the oldest building on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And you go downstairs. L14 is like a little auditorium. I was just there yesterday for a poetry reading from a former student.
It's a decent size.
It'll fit 100 people, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not that many, 80 or 100. You're right. It's relatively
decent, yeah.
For the middle of a building with classrooms, you're probably right.
Right.
But so everybody knows where it is. So the Liberal Arts Building, Monday, October 24th.
Which is this Monday coming up, believe it or not. It's already the end of October.
That's right.
24th.
And there will be two film showings of the documentary. One is in the afternoon, late morning, from 11 a.m. to 12:30. And then the next one is from 1 to 2:30. Mm-hmm. Give the people a chance to get out and get the new people in. This is Monday the 24th, either at 11 a.m. to 12:30 or 1 to 2:30. And the documentary reveals how harmful the standard American diet, or SAD, is to individual health and what people can do to significantly reduce the chances of developing heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, and other ailments. The event is free and open to the public.
Free. Dennis and I love to tell you about free stuff.
Free.
And was it you that told me, or do I just know that is like one of the top rated documentaries on Netflix right now?
Oh, wow. It is the number one requested film on Netflix.
Yeah. And it's free. And Netflix just hiked all their prices and doing all these crazy things and making everybody mad. And you can come to Henry Ford and watch it for free.
Yeah.
Yay.
You're right. This appeared in theaters last spring, and now it's the number one requested film on Netflix. Again, for the last time, Forks Over Knives, Monday, October 24th. That's just a few days away, 3 days away, in the Liberal Arts Building, room L14. That's 11 to 12:30 or 1 to 2:30. If you do have questions, 313-845-6460. That's 313-845-6460.
I wonder if they'll have like little Totino's pizza rolls or something.
Yeah.
Little snacks.
Bad food as an appetizer.
And pop.
We are really, really, we're getting to the end here. And I know that we're going to wait. Joanne will be in shortly with her blues show. We got to remember this.
We got to talk about this. This is good stuff. This is coming up. WHFR.
I'm giving you something else because I know you'll like these two things.
Dennis knows what I like.
And I wanted to cover something really, really quickly here. HFCC Technology Division was the recipient. This happened this past September. So last month, they were the recipient of the Photon 120 laser scanning system from FARO Technologies. We were the first college in the Midwest to wield such sophisticated technology in the classroom. and I thought that was kind of cool. The headline is HFCC first college in region to receive cutting edge laser scanning system. Just another reason. I'm not going to go into detail. It's on our website. Kurt Anthony Krug wrote a wonderful article. Just go to hfcc.edu. Look at the news section. It's right on there, the headline. And it's just wonderful. It's just another, in my opinion, a great reason to come here. Cutting edge technology, just about in every area. And finally, what's coming up on the 11th is where HFCC will host the 8th Annual Michigan Student Political Issues Convention. Really interesting stuff. Some of the people, Lindsay, check this out. Some of the political figures, local and state political figures that have been invited to this event, the 8th Annual Michigan Student Political Issues Convention. Dearborn Mayor John B. O'Reilly, Dearborn Heights Mayor Daniel Paletko, Wayne County Commissioner Gary Warrenchek, Wayne County Commissioner Irma Clark Coleman, State Rep Phil Kavanaugh, State Rep George Durrani, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, U.S. Congressman Sander Levin, Carl Levin. Oh, wow.
When is this?
This is November 11th. And all these people here, the convention it provides interactivity. And the point is to engage the students in a series of workshops. So they're going to come out and they're going to talk about just various things. Education, higher education, the cost of funding, some of the education, the primary education reform. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody's on everybody's mind, unemployment and jobs. Mm-hmm. But they've expressed these particular things, some of the pressing concerns for this particular convention. So national debt, healthcare, these are all things, even war and religion are things, and diversity are things that they're going to bring to the table for this particular convention. 700 students participated throughout Michigan. That was over the past 6 years. Oh, so wow. A lot of things have been discussed at this, yes. But it really brings to light some of the things that are most important to student politicians. And, mm-hmm. of course, you have mentors like these other lifelong politicians to work with. So, anyway, you got something really quick there. I know Joanne's here, so.
Well, I have something delicious to speak about real quick.
All right.
Our hospitality service here, or hospitality program here at Henry Ford is amazing, and if you would like to help them out, you can spend $45 on a ticket, which $30 of the proceeds is going to the Hospitality Studies Department Scholarship Fund, and you can take part in Courses 3. It's the Chef Scholarship Dinner, and it's going on next Thursday, October 27th at 6 p.m., and the theme for Courses 3 is Wild Game. There's going to be an assortment of hors d'oeuvres comprised of hickory smoked bison sausage.
Wow.
Delicious. Pheasant wonton and plum sauce. Michigan turkey and vegetable herb terrine.
I think you just made that up.
Yeah, mushroom.
It's French.
Yeah, mushroom bruschetta. I'm all about the mushroom bruschetta.
All right.
And there will be a